football on Off the Ball.
It was ferocious, incredible. The intensity from the stands just transmitted itself onto the pitch, and the city couldn't breathe.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the Koigig Podcast. Cathy McNamee here, and this morning is not exactly the podcast that we hoped we would be bringing you at the end of this Euro 2025 campaign. Ireland have sadly failed to qualify for the tournament next summer in Switzerland after losing to Wales last night in the Aviva. And just because we like pain and misery, I am joined by Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron to rift over the corpse of Ireland's lost hopes and dreams this morning, which is exactly how I'm feeling. But
what a way to start a Wednesday.
I know.
How to cheer us up on a hump day.
I know, it's not even like a Thursday or a Friday. At least you could like go out or something, entertain yourself. Guys, we've had some time to sleep on it. Not a whole lot of time, I have to say. I think I've had about 4 hours of sleep, so apologies if this isn't too coherent or anything. But feelings this morning, Karen?
Oh, just dejection, really. Like, I was nervous going into it. I felt like we were the better team. I just don't know. I didn't know, would we be able to get enough players playing well on the night to show that we were the better team? And I think it highlighted a lot of our shortcomings, particularly in an attacking sense. And on the bigger scale, it feels, I feel quite pessimistic in terms of the overall landscape of women's football in this country. I was writing with the Irish Times last week, and I was kind of saying that because the funding isn't there, a lot of like the future development and that can't see it can't be a thing. It has all rested on these girls' shoulders for the last 4 years. And it kind of feels like we're a little bit vulnerable now, that other sports could come in and kind of grow at a faster rate than we can because of that lack of funding. And now because we haven't really kicked on in a way.
Well, I think we were chatting about it this morning on Off the Ball Breakfast, and we had Rachel from Girls on the Ball on, and it was something we were kind of discussing a bit last night with a couple of different former players and people after the game, that this very much feels like a sliding doors moment, in that the FAI have had the opportunity over the last year to capitalize on the World Cup, on the popularity. I don't know, was there maybe a bit of resting on laurels and assuming that we were just going to qualify for another major tournament off the back of it, or what it was? But Scarlett, it feels like a chance to put their money where their mouth is. Not that there is a whole lot to put anywhere, but, you know, as Karen was saying, everything has been on the shoulders of these players. They were going into last night not just looking to win and go to a major tournament, but also to carry on a legacy that is much heavier than, say, anything that any of our male counterparts have had to deal with.
Yeah, and I just think the main sort of fear now is, like, as everyone's saying, sort of online and stuff, that we slip away. I feel like momentum is so key in trying to build something and develop something. And that's what women's football is in this country. Like, it's a developing sport. And I think that was just the biggest disappointment from last night. The Euros, obviously not getting to play in it is tough for the girls, and it's tough for us as a supporting nation. But it's just the sort of knock-on effect that'll have now. You just worry that, obviously, like, you see Ruisha Littlejohn and stuff talking about the grassroots level and stuff. You just kind of fear now that not much would be done sort of to improve that, or less will be done than what have been done. I just think last night, sort of the performance itself kind of epitomised, like, every Irish team we've ever had in terms of, like, oh, we could have won the game, but, you know, we were unlucky It's that sort of, oh, that Irish team are always so unlucky sort of thing. And I kind of like you kind of hope that the women's team's a bit different and we don't sort of fall under that stereotype. But last night was the first night where I felt like I went to all the Ireland men's games when I was growing up, and it was always, oh, they were so unlucky, like they could have won the game, but they just wasn't their day. And I just that was the first night where I felt that last night, which was also really disappointing because we could have won the game, but we fell short. We didn't.
We didn't.
Yeah, and that's the end of it. Like that's the moral of the story. Like, isn't it? You can have as many chances as you want, but if you lose the game, it's just done.
And we weren't good enough to win the game.
No.
Like, you can say whatever you want. We had chances, we had this, that, and the other. On the balance of things, we weren't ambitious enough in the first leg, and second leg, we weren't clinical enough, and we left ourselves vulnerable on the counter. So we didn't show a growth from, the World Cup. Like, we're talking about growth and we keep talking about it, but we've played the same system since Colin Bell came in, played the five at the back under Colin, Vera, Eileen. It has to be more done to develop kind of the technical players. We're stuck in this system because we don't have a huge amount of full backs, wingers, strikers. So we're pumping in these central players, and it leaves us a little bit one dimensional, I think, as well. Wales use their bench better than us. They got the rub of the green with VAR, but like, it was a penalty as well, whether the Wales players were claiming it or not. Pretty good officiating from whoever was on VAR duty last night as well, much to our annoyance, because no one really knew what was going on when it went for that VAR check. But
I didn't even realize I had VAR until that moment. I was like,
well,
"Oh,
here we
no."
are. But yeah, we didn't do enough over the balance of the two legs, I don't think.
We didn't go for it at all.
What was it though? Like, because you look at Wales, and they technically had no right to be as cocky and confident as they were going into those two legs, considering how close the teams were. But there was this air about them in both games that, and I know, Scarlett, you said about the lucky thing, like that very much did feel like that from an Irish perspective. But they just seemed to have this innate confidence that they were going to do it and that they were going to beat us, and they were happy to take whatever tactics that they needed to do that. They whether it was on the pitch where it was Rhian Wilkinson talking them up beforehand, it just seemed like they were in that place and we weren't.
I just think, yeah, it's hard. Obviously, like they took their chances. Like they didn't have many, but they took them. And that's sort of that's the end of the story. Like I don't know. I just feel like we were quite poor. Like we didn't really. I feel like over the two legs, we just didn't go for it at all. Like I spoke when we were talking last week. You kind of said you have to give everything here. Obviously, the girls give everything they had, but we just probably weren't expressive enough, and we didn't. I don't know. We didn't try enough new things. Like you can't be the same, as Karen said, one dimensional. You can't be one trick pony. Sort of. This is the only way we're gonna score. This is how we're gonna combat every team. But yeah, I don't know. Playing out, I thought was a bit iffy at times. Like we gave the ball away a lot. I thought we were sort of the architects of our own downfall at times. The only ch like whenever they did get chances, it was because we handed them the ball. I thought as well, like the first half an hour, we were all over the place. It was probably just nerves, and you can completely understand that with the like game it is. But like up contesting against each other for 50-50s and like clashing each other and just like passes, like kind of scuffing passes here and there, touches going astray, but like that's all simple things. When they got into the game then, like the last 10 minutes of the first half was quite positive. And then the goal goes in, and we were just, it was nothing. I thought, right, we'll get a bit of a reaction now. They'll go for the game. They have to. They're 1-0 down. You can't. There's no space for leaving it after 10 minutes. And just, we're too slow to react, and that's sort of it. Then obviously the second one goes in, and I think that's game over at that stage. Obviously, we're given a lifeline, but Yeah, we left too late. Like, we just didn't go for it.
You kind of talked about like not learning things. That penalty, it just gave me sort of throwbacks to that opening game of the World Cup, and when we gave away that penalty, and again we had, Australia was obviously a very different level of opposition that we were playing, but we were in that game, and then we concede early in the second half, and all of a sudden we lose the run of ourselves a little bit, and then again we pull it back for the final 10, 15 minutes maybe of the second half.
Yeah, we pulled it back when the game was, leaning towards chaos, but it was the other 80 minutes that Wales were calmer in. I think they were calmer because they felt very sound in their tactics. I know we dominated possession, but they knew that was going to happen, Whereas I think when we didn't get that first half goal, we didn't know what was going to happen. I think they felt very assured in their roles, and they were happy to play a certain way. And we've tried to talk about the evolution of football, and I've been one of the people who said we want to see more of it, but that has to start at the grassroots level. Maybe with the team that we have, we should have been what Rhian Wilkinson said we were. We should have been more direct, more agricultural and stuff like that. Because like you say, Scarlett said a couple of times in the first half, the midfielders were looking for it, but you knew that their angles were off, and you knew that the people around them were not given the right passes. So it was like we were playing for the sake of playing it. And it didn't work out for us very well. Look, it was, I just think, again, did we lack a little bit of belief? We should have had that air of confidence from the first minute over in Wales. And then I think, again, we let the pressure of the home leg get to us. I know we talked about the home leg being a better thing in the second leg. I'm not sure that that was the case. I think potentially it impacted us a little bit. You saw the girls G-ing up the crowd a little bit. It's like, what? You don't need to be G-ing up the crowd. You need to be calm. You need to be focused in those moments. The crowd are behind you. Maybe some people get a raise off that, but for me, I'd be like the game and drown everything else out. The only thing you should be thinking about is your role and your tactics and this, that, and the other. And I think we got caught up in the occasion, gave away a few too many silly free kicks and times when we were on top, and it just allowed them to slow the game down and eke their way back in those moments where we were on top. And that's what allowed them to go into halftime nil all. And that would have buoyed them so much, having been under the cosh so much and getting in at halftime nil all. Knowing that we had kind of spent ourselves tactically, like I don't think that they were gonna or had any fear that we were gonna come out in the second half and do anything majorly different. So
Yeah. I did say that at halftime when I was on air that I thought that Wales would definitely be the happier of the two, and that if they could hold on, they would get their moment. I didn't expect it to come the way it did quite so soon at the second half, but it did, unfortunately. I mean, in some ways there was a potential with the way things were going that it could have been a lot worse, Whenever we went 2-0 down, I wasn't necessarily expecting us to get back into it the way that we did. And we're very fortunate that we did, but I think you're right, and Karen, in that we started to thrive off the chaos, and there could have been a couple of other Welsh goals as well in that chaotic time. We were fortunate that that didn't happen. Scarlett, in terms of the wider picture, and I know we talked a little bit about this at the start, but like, do you have to compliment someone like Ruscha for coming out in such a devastating moment, and when all eyes are really on the team for that one night, at least we don't know for the rest of it, and taking the opportunity to say what she did?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at Ruscha and like she's one of the more senior players, and obviously like she's struggled through injuries, so you kind of wonder like, is that her done? So I'd say over the next year or so, like that could be probably the end of her Irish career. That's just me assuming, I don't know, but
I'm glad
obviously
you
she'll
ended Irish career onto the end of that. That's never Scott.
yeah, could be. But yeah, I think she's probably gonna. She's a big personality, obviously, as everyone kind of knows, but she is probably trying to make the biggest impact she can now, for the future of the game in Ireland, and that's great. Like, obviously what she said is all true. Like Aaron spoke about it there. Like the grassroots is the core to every football and federation in the world. Like you look at England and the grassroots they have in place, and obviously that takes time to build and takes funding and all these things. But I think probably we. It's already the most talked about football topic in this country. Even on the men's side, it's constantly spoken about. And probably because it rings true, a lot of people have a lot of opinions on it. And obviously, the FAI have questions to answer for at times from certain people. And I, yeah, you'd think that they'd have to start answering those questions and sort of trying to develop it as much as they can. Because at the end of the day, we talk about the Irish way of playing football. We probably don't have enough technical players like Denise, like playmakers, like players who are really good on the ball that can play. As I said earlier, like where we lost the ball most was probably playing out, and that's purely just lack of like technical nous. Not to the girls' fault or anything, but it's kind of the same across the board for all Irish teams. You know, we're always one of the less technical teams, and there's reason for that. That's not just luck. That's not like genetics or anything like that. Like that's just contact hours, and I'm saying the same things that like 100 people have said in the last like few months about this on the men's and women's side. So yeah, it needs to be said, but everyone that said it, there's not much been done about it. But obviously there is development plans in place and stuff. So yeah, all you can do is hope that this doesn't set us back and that we can put money into the grassroots and we can help develop the next generation of players coming through, and that this isn't a blip. It's obviously a knock, like it's a bit of a bump in the road, but you hope that overall it doesn't set us back. Like I think we're probably a few years ahead of Wales in terms of development. That's what I would have thought before the game. But I just hope now that like we don't stall, and then they'll obviously jump from this a few years on. So you just hope we don't fall behind.
Last thing, Karen, because you don't want to turn into, say, a Scotland or a Northern Ireland who qualified for their first tournaments and have kind of struggled since, and their systems have struggled since. You know, if you were given the keys tomorrow or later today, whatever it is that you will eventually get your hands on them, if you were given the keys, what are you doing with the castle?
I don't know. But there's enough clever people in the FAI to maybe come up with a plan. I don't know because the funding isn't there, and it, like, so then we have to get very, very creative. There has to be something, like Scarlett said, in terms of the contact hours. Like you saw our 19s yesterday, they did really well up until they had to play a Norway. And like that gulf, we just cannot seem to bridge that gulf. So then we're getting caught around this kind of middle area where we're around the Scotlands and the Wales, and we're kind of up and down and up and down and up and down with them. And we're never pulling away because we're not getting that boost. So we all thought that there'd be a bounce after the World Cup, but in fact it was probably the opposite, you know, completely removed of the home based. It's the onus is completely on our underfunded league and club structures to go and develop players now. And then it's like, okay, you've done your leaving cert, now go pro, because that's the only way to do it. And there has to be a bridge there. Obviously, when you talk about the technical side of stuff, that has to start at a much, much younger age. Like, I don't know about Scarlett, but like I was kind of saying last night, like everyone seems to end up as a centre mid or a centre back. You know, there's a reason why we're stuck in this 5-3-2 formation at the moment. It's because we're producing a load of centre backs, a load of centre mids, no wingers per se, no natural full backs, and you know, hard workers up top, but not like prolific goal scorers. Like I would have started off as a striker. Scarlett probably did as well, but at some point throughout our career, we got put in this box where it said, be safer, you know, play safer. Coming up through the ranks, we became a team where it was more important not to make mistakes than it was to go and make mistakes and express yourself and maybe learn from that and develop. It's a results business, but it shouldn't be. And that's what we kind of need to get away from at the underage level. We need to allow, get the street football kind of back into people and stuff like that. Everyone thinks they have to play like, you know, Rodri or whatever now because they're seeing it on the telly and even the interviews, they think they have to talk like these Premier League footballers. And that's some of the feel you get from some people now. It's just like, oh, I'm a professional footballer. And that was the goal. Growing up, the goal was always to play for Ireland, you know, it, and that mindset needs to be there. And I'd like to see a bit more of that collective drive. You know, you can't fault anyone's effort individually, but sometimes it seems a little bit fragmented as a collective effort to me. Too much for the gram, you know?
Yeah. Is it like more or less frustrating that as a team, we've probably grown past those individual mistakes that have done us down before, but that last night, like you couldn't really pinpoint one exact person last night that underperformed and as a result, we didn't, you know, succeed. There are probably performances that you could question, you know, Katie getting that yellow card so early on in the game definitely changed the tone of the game and especially in the second half as well, because it meant that she couldn't really, maybe when we needed that little bit of aggression at that stage to kind of get Wales backs up, we couldn't have it. But, you know, it, there wasn't that massive catastrophic moment where you were like, oh, okay, so this is the reason why we're not going to.
Yeah, defensively, no catastrophic moments, but in attack, we call it not being clinical in attack. And that's just as it's the winning of a game.
Yeah.
You know, we've always had this defensive structure that was quite sound. We had a couple of unfortunate moments yesterday, but the game should have been out of sight. We could start to call those catastrophic moments because they're now the things that are costing us.
So is that like a mindset change that we need then?
No, that's a technical thing. That is finding someone who is able to give the runs and play to a certain style and also in those moments has the cool enough head to get the ball in the back of the
net.
Sorry,
I meant more that like whoever comes in and, well, it could be Eileen still, we don't know, but whatever happens that they are looking, rather than say the Nifahi back pass and that being a catastrophic moment in Irish football history, that us not getting those goals, that is catastrophic. That's the sort of language that we need to start putting on it and that's how we need to start looking at it.
I think so. And I also think, look, this is a really bad moment. We can all kind of have to acknowledge now that we didn't kick on in the way that we should have after the World Cup. The next World Cup campaign is going to be very, very difficult for us. I think now, given where we are, it's time for a rebuild. You need someone to look at it and have a four-year plan and get us to the next Euros. I think that has to be it. We can't just keep papering over the cracks by bringing in a couple of good players from overseas or a player here and there through the structures. It has to be like a phenomenal effort made to bring through a lot more players through our underage ranks and a different type of player as well. Because when you don't keep bringing through those players, you keep picking the safe players, people venture off in other places. If they're not being brought into these home base sessions and they don't feel like there's a pathway for them through to the senior team because the style doesn't match how they play, you still need to have them given extra contact hours so that when our overall style of play does develop, that we have enough players to supplement it. It's a very brave move to kind of say, let's scrap it all and start again and go for a four-year plan because we all want that instant success and that gratification and stuff now. But I feel like in this moment, and I know it's very fresh with us in this moment, I don't feel hugely optimistic about the overall landscape. I think it needs a very, very well thought out plan. And maybe you have to take a little bit of pain for some overall gain. I think that's where we have to go to now. I don't mind how that happens. I just feel like we've plateaued. Like even when we weren't qualifying for major tournaments, I still feel like we were at a similar level as to this team now, but they're professional. But the level's not as big a gap as there should be.
No, I don't think so. Especially when you look at where the majority of our players are playing now, the experiences that that team has had in between, the fact that we're sitting here feeling like we had the exact same issues as we did, you know, 5, 6+ years ago, it kind of says a lot about where the growth is. And you can't, you know, you can't take away the experiences and the steps that were taken in between that, you know, did see us get those historic moments, but it's just where's the sustainability in it, I suppose. I mean,
Yeah,
it
it's
can't.
growth in coaching as well, though. Like, if you're talking about is Eileen's job on the line, like there's not a huge pool to pick from. You're either, I don't know, hoping that someone comes maybe through from the men's game, not a huge amount of female pro coaches in this country, or you're taking a chance on a Vera or a Colin Bell and hoping that that works out in some way. But we don't have the finances to go for someone who's, you know, is like a really, really solid choice. Like Vera was a big chance that they took. It paid off in terms of getting to a World Cup, but there was other implications in and around this team that lingered on for a long time. So there's a risk versus reward thing, and we're talking a lot about the tactical nous of, or the technical ability of our players, but what's being fed to them from a coach who has very limited contact time as an international coach is really, really important. And you have to be very, very effective. And that's also probably a little bit of a pool that's lacking at the moment that needs more encouragement, says me, who hasn't done one coaching badge. But
Well, I think it's
I
well
don't feel
acknowledged that
inspired to get
it's a
into
limited
it.
pool across the world. Like, you know, it's not just an issue in this country, it's an issue everywhere, pretty much. I mean, I know I said about them and not wanting to go down the path that they did in terms of qualifying, but then are you looking to say, so we're like Northern Ireland, who brought in Tanya Oxtoby, who has that like coaching credentials from Chelsea? They very much seem to be doing a rebuild long-term project. Is that what we need to basically be emulating? Because I don't think their finances are madly different than us. They obviously didn't have the issues that we have had in the past with the FAI, but you know, also much smaller country, much smaller pool.
I think so.
Like it shows
What
that
I
there's
liked
a
about
way to
their kind of
be.
strategic plan is that they are focusing on the people in their own country. You know, it's not just like we are completely focused on the senior international team. And that's because they've been the one that's kind of brought football on in this country. But they're acknowledging that the work needs to be done on the ground because the pool isn't big enough, the pool of players isn't big enough. I like that they're looking inward a bit. And I think we need to do the same.
When you talk about, sorry.
No, you go ahead. I would just say, I don't want to look inward on a day like today. I want to forget that the world exists. Scarlett, go ahead.
Sorry, just Karen, when you talk about like the rebuild, like the 4-year thing, like obviously like that sounds great when you look at it on paper, but like are you talking about like a whole, like from the ground up in terms of like formation, style of play, like everything.
Yeah, I'm thinking like from under 15 level. Like when you get to that international level, like we want to get a certain type of player that can filter the way through. So yeah, I think you are probably looking at, I think it's like the Dutch kind of had that model where they all played the same formation. They all got used to it from a certain age, and small-sided games and developing that technical ability. So yeah, it's that kind of rebuild. Like you're still going to keep all your good players, but you're looking back down the line and saying, okay, we're looking at this team now, we're missing X, Y, and Z. Going back to our under 15s, okay, they might lose a few tournaments, but if we can develop this certain type of player over the course of 8 years, in 8 years' time, we could be a team then that consistently goes to the Euros. I don't know, I don't have the answers, but I just feel like it feels like something drastic needs to be done because the progression has been kind of surface level in terms of we've been lucky that we've had a Katie and Denise and the likes of Niamh Fahey over the years, who've kind of put teams on their backs and dragged us through enough that people think that we're doing quite well.
Well,
And I think then,
go ahead, Scarlett. Sorry, I think there
sorry, I
might
was
be a
just going to
delay on
say,
the line, so I feel like I
yeah.
keep interrupting.
No, I just, yeah, I feel like you look at that and you think, like Man City do that as well, where all their youth teams have the same style of playing formation. So when the first team's lacking in an area, they go, right, who in the youth team is in this position playing that style, is that type of player? Right, we develop them, bring them up, whatever. Like you see that every year with Man City bringing in players from the academy, like Phil Foden's the main example of that. But then you also think, is 4 years enough time for that? Because obviously it's enough time to put foundations in place, I suppose. But if you're completely flipping the way we play, like obviously I think, to be fair to Eileen, like I understand we're playing the same, like we're playing the same football that we were 5 years ago, but it's also playing to the strengths, as you say, like down the centre we're strong, out wide probably not as don't have enough as much depth in terms of pool of players and technical ability and stuff. So like are you like I don't know, I just feel like it's a lot further down the line if you're trying to develop, say, like a 4-3-3 or something, and you're trying to get everyone to play that way, play a certain style, like through the middle, whatever. I just think it'll take longer than 4 years because we probably don't have the players developing at the minute, because players that are coming through now, like they're also being primed for this Irish team, like even the League of Ireland. Like if you look at games, like a lot of them aren't that pretty. Like a lot of teams are just direct, which is like you look at Athlone this year in the league, they were direct. They went up and then they played off seconds, got out wide, got the ball in the box and scored goals, and they won the league off it. And you look at that and you think that's exactly what an Irish team should like are looking to do nowadays. So I just like, yeah, I think that flip would take, obviously the foundations, as I said, would be in place for that. Like if you had a 4 year plan, and it's like as you're saying, none of us really have the answers we wish we did, because then we'd be in a much better place. But I think for that we're probably like a few years more off. I hope not, but like I don't know, we'll have to see. But it's a probably a good start to start again and rebuild and have this now next. This next phase of, right, every other team's prepping for the Euros. We need to look further and more long term, as you said, and think what can we do to sort of affect football in Ireland forever? Like we have to change it the ways.
And that's Scarlett's bid to take on this
Thank
project alongside Karen Duggan for the next
you
8 years. Thank you very much, FAI, if you are listening to us. And I think you're totally right, Scarlett, like that. The sort of structural changes, it probably won't come to fruition in 4 years. It probably would be longer tournament ambitions. But if it was something that they were ambitious enough to attempt, it would be really interesting to see if they could do it successfully as well. Because it's one thing setting out to do it, it's another thing putting the people in place who can actually achieve it and actually want to implement it. And you know, they chatted about that string that they want to go through all layers of Irish football so that everyone is playing the same, but it didn't really sound like that there was much attempts to change and make any difference to what we're currently doing at the moment. So we will see. Any final thoughts, guys, before I let us all go and attempt to forget that the last 24 hours happened?
No thoughts, no
That's
joy,
fair.
no. It's we can say well done and we put in great effort and this, that, and the other, but it all boiled down to that game and wasn't good enough. That's it.
Sadly so.
Positive
Karen,
Wednesdays.
we had such a good run of you being positive for a while there.
Yeah, those 20 minutes were good.
Yeah, I enjoyed. Well, thank you very much to both of you for joining me this morning. I know it wasn't the particularly the easiest thing in the world to do, but I suppose we have to mark the bad times as well as the good times. And unfortunately, no trip to Switzerland for us next summer. Although hopefully we will still be covering the tournament and talking about some good football. The Koyuk Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. I hate to say it because I don't even want to think about it, but we'll be back next week because the WSL is happening in 3 or 4 days at this rate. So we will have all your analysis, thoughts, and who knows, maybe we might even be a little bit happier by that time. But thank you all for listening, and I hope your day improves significantly, that you're walking along on the pavement and you see 50 quid or something like that. We will chat to you.
If you do, please invest it in women's football.
Just put it in a brown envelope and kind of let Karen Duggan, the coin gig pod, and she'll put it in a secret safe for the future of Irish football.
For my 8-year plan.
Yeah. And we will see you all next week.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.